sharing your faith? Are you telling people about Jesus, who is mighty to save, on a regular basis? Hey, have you told someone about Jesus this week, or last week, or last month? You know, we're called by the Lord to be His witnesses, but the sad truth is many of us don't witness. I know as a pastor that if I talk in a sermon about witnessing, people get uncomfortable and they start to feel bad, because that and prayer are two areas of the Christian life where so often we don't do very well. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're going to talk about this thing called witnessing today. You know, it's why we are left on this earth. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." We are to testify to the great things the Lord has done in our life and how the Lord can do those great things in another's life. As someone well said, what is witnessing? Witnessing is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Well, I am Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I became a Christian when I was 17 years old, and I was introduced to this thing called witnessing early on in my Christian life, and I was taught, hey, this is what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to tell others about Jesus. And so I began to tell my friends about Jesus. They saw such a change in my life. All my buddies were lost guys. And so we went out, we played basketball together. That was our sport. That was what I did in high school. Played basketball, played sports, and drank on the weekends and chased girls. And that was just kind of my life, just kind of a let's have fun kind of guy. Well, when I became a Christian, then I knew I couldn't keep doing that. I couldn't keep going out on the weekends and getting drunk and just acting like a fool. And so I said, okay, I'll quit doing that. And then I realized I couldn't go out with my friends anymore on the weekends, even if I wasn't drinking, because too much temptation. And so I separated from them and quit doing that. And they noticed that. They noticed that, hey, Shreve's way different. What happened to him? And did he get religion? What happened? And they started watching my life, and they were seeing if I was, if this was some fad or if this was real, and is Jesus really making a difference in the way I live? And when they saw the reality that my life was changing and the Lord was working in my life and making a difference in my life, then they started to listen to what I had to say, and they listened to the gospel. And many of my good friends came to Christ, put their faith and trust in Jesus, and are walking with the Lord to this day. But why is it that so many believers in Jesus who are called to be His witnesses, why is it that we don't do very well when it comes to witnessing, when it comes to sharing our faith? I think fear is a big reason why so many of us, instead of standing up for Jesus as a bold witness for the Lord, as a bold soldier of the cross, we just kind of sheepishly shut up instead of boldly stand up. And we say, well, I'm just afraid. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to start the conversation. I know that I'm not perfect in my walk with the Lord, and so I just feel like a hypocrite if I talk to this person about Jesus, because they know that some of my language is not good, and you know, there are other situations in my life that aren't quite right, and I don't know the Bible well enough. If they ask me a Bible question, I'm not going to know the answer, and I'm going to feel stupid. And so fear is something that the devil uses to get Christians to sheepishly shut up instead of boldly stand up. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. Hey, feel the fear and do it anyway. You don't have to know all the answers. You just have to say, Lord, I'm going to tell this person about you. So let's tackle these fears, and let's look at how we can bolster our witness. So four things I want to share with you this morning in this first segment. Number one, every true Christian, everyone who has truly been born again, has a testimony to share. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus and he has saved you, you have a testimony to share. I always talk on this program about the two words, shine and share. Shine is the way you live. That's your life. So let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We're supposed to do that. And if our life is not matching up with the Lord, if we're living in sin and talking about Jesus, well, then we just come across as a huge hypocrite. So that is critical, to walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1, as he himself is in the light. God is light, John tells us, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. People don't want to listen to liars. People don't want to listen. If your life is a total mess and you're living with your boyfriend or girlfriend and you're smoking pot and you're doing this and you're doing that and you have a gambling addiction that you're not working on, you're just giving into, witnessing for Jesus is not going to work, because people will just say, whatever you have is obviously not helping you. But when your shine is good, when you're dealing with sin in your life, when you, not sinless perfection, but the direction of your life is moving toward the Lord, and there is a shine about you from his holiness, then you open your mouth, then you share. I always think about the Gadarene demoniac, as the Lord delivered him from the legion of demons, and he was clothed and in his right mind there in Gadara. The man said to him, "Lord, please let me go with you." And the Lord said to him, "No, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." Just share your story. Go home and tell what I've done in your life. And the Bible says, Mark 5:20, and he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis, those were the 10 Gentile cities on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, in Decapolis, what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Well, what is a witness in a court of law? What does a witness do? You bring the witness to the witness stand. They just tell what they've seen and heard. Every Christian can tell, hey, this is what Jesus did for me. And if you got saved when you were 5-6 years old, you can still share, hey, this is how I came to know Christ. And if you got saved at my age, 17, I had a lot of BC in there, a lot of before Christ. This was my life before Christ. This is how I came to know Christ. And this is how Jesus has changed my life. So those are the three parts of a good testimony. What was life like before? How did you come to know Jesus specifically? And how has he made a difference in your life? Now, if you became a Christian when you were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, the before is not a huge part. You don't have a lot to share about, well, you know, I pulled my sister's hair or something like that. But you can talk a lot about how growing up and hearing about Jesus, how that made such a difference in your life, and that how Jesus is making a difference in your life today. I remember my friend Matt Reynolds, his testimony, because he came to know Christ very young. His testimony was, this is what the Lord saved me from. I didn't do a lot of things that the guys in high school did because the Lord saved me from that. So every Christian has a testimony to share. That's number one. Number two, every Christian needs to know the gospel. You need to know the verses associated with the gospel. When early in my Christian life, I was introduced to the four spiritual laws that Bill Bright from Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, that he wrote. I think they've sold a billion plus of these little tracts, the four spiritual laws. Well, I had one of the guys that was discipling me in college. He said, "Jeff, I want you to go witnessing with me one day. We'll just go out on the street and we'll talk to people on the street." You know, Austin had a lot of people. I went to the University of Texas. They had a lot of people that lived on the street. And so there were always people to talk to about Jesus. But he said, "You can't go until you memorize this booklet." So I had the little four spiritual laws, and it had the plan of salvation, and it had verses that were associated with each point of the four spiritual laws. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Man is a sinner and can't experience God's love and plan, but Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, and we each must humbly and personally receive Christ in order for what he did on the cross to become applicable and a part of our life, become real in our lives. We have to receive Christ. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That's what it says in John chapter 1. And so I memorized those things, and I knew the gospel outline so that I could share that with somebody. And every Christian needs to know the gospel. You know, when I got my first outside sales job, I was working for waste management, selling trash dumpster service. Not very glamorous. I thought it was about the most unglamorous job you could get, but I was wrong, because we added a product line while I was there, and it was portable toilets. So when you're selling trash service and portable toilets, very unglamorous. But there were things I needed to learn in order to go to businesses and talk to them about the trash service and about the portable toilet service. And if I wouldn't learn that, I wouldn't have done very well, and the company would have let me go, because it's like, hey, you're not selling anything. You're not even talking to anybody about this stuff, and you don't even know what to say. And so with any kind of presentation, we need to know the material. And so every Christian needs to know the gospel, know the Roman road to salvation, and know the verses in Ephesians 2, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 10:9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Every Christian needs to know those things. And so familiarize yourself with the gospel and have those verses down pat that you can share them. And you can just ask somebody in a conversation, sitting next to them on an airplane or at the grocery store or something like that, as you strike up a spiritual conversation, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And have you ever heard, do you know for certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? That's a great question. And so what would you say to God if he should ask you, why should I let you into heaven? That's a second great question. We call those diagnostic questions, because it's not a yes or no. The second one is definitely, what would you say to God? Why should he let you into heaven? You can figure out what a person's trusting in, and then you can be ready to go and say, but do you know what the Bible says about how a person gets to heaven? Well, a lot of people will say, well, I'm not really sure what the Bible says about that. Well, let me tell you, and you can share the gospel. And every Christian, thirdly, needs to be praying. Three things to pray. God, use me today to tell somebody about you and give me that opportunity. Number two, help me to know when that opportunity is there before me. And number three, help me not chicken out. If you'll pray that prayer, that three-pronged prayer every day, God, use me today to tell somebody about you. God, help me to know when that person is before me. And God, help me not to chicken out. You'll be amazed at the opportunities that the Lord brings your way. And so fourthly, every Christian needs to remember that when you meet a person who doesn't know Jesus, they're one heartbeat from hell. See, it's the love of Christ that controls us, Paul says. And we don't want anybody to go to hell. What is witnessing? It's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. It's us just sharing with folks out of love and concern and care, saying, hey, I came to know Jesus. He forgave me. He changed my life. He can do the same for you. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking to Anthony McCoy, who does a great job witnessing in the prison system. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The This is Bible League International. Thank God your pastor wasn't attacked on Sunday, but it happened to Pastor Nepo recently while preaching in Burundi, Africa. 20 radicals dragged him down the aisle to the front lawn where they beat him nearly to death because he's been faithfully sharing the gospel with Muslims, and nearly 200 have come to Christ in his village where Christians are attacked daily.
Anyone who comes to Jesus as their Lord and Savior are easily persecuted.
In coastal India, Jayanth planted a church in a village with no Christians, and today, more than half of that village follows Christ, but it did not come easy. His house was burned down twice. His wife was assaulted, and many in the church have been threatened with death, but they're not praying for an end to their suffering. They're praying for Bibles to endure and persevere. We're halfway to our goal to send God's word to 16,000 Bible-less persecuted believers, and we need to wrap up in a week. So at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20. Will you call 800-YES-WORD? 800-YES-WORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.org. sendbiblesnow.org, and God bless you for caring.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
40 years ago, Bill and Pam Farrow began their weekly marriage meetings, and they haven't stopped since. On the next Focus on the Family, the Farrells share how you and your spouse can make purposeful decisions and strengthen your connection through a regular discussion time about the details of life. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. Well, we're talking about the subject of witnessing today, sharing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating through us, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." We are witnesses. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are on this earth to share what great things the Lord has done for us and how He has had mercy on us and how He will save if people will come to Him in repentance and faith. Well, we welcome to the program today Anthony McCoy. Anthony has been a believer in the Lord Jesus for 42 years and the seventh of nine children. And God has used him in the prison and jail ministry for over 25 years. And they've seen many, many people come to Christ. And he has seen the power of being a witness for Jesus and God using his life. So, Anthony, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Well, tell me about your salvation experience. When did that come about for you?
Well, I was in the military in 1980. Out doing my thing, partying as a young person, 22 years old. And my experience was I had a bad situation where I should have died, you know, hanging out with the wrong people, should have been shot. And some kind of way, God miraculously got me out of the vehicle, and I was in the backwoods somewhere the next morning, and I was laying in front of a church, and that's when the Lord spoke to me, and I went to church the next Sunday, not knowing God, even though I was raised in the church by my mom being a minister and my dad, and I gave my life to the Lord then at the age of 22.
Hmm. And then, so you were in the military or out of the military at that time?
No, I was still in the military.
Okay. And so how did your life begin to change, Anthony?
Well, I pretty much, you know, you listen to people witness and talk about the Lord, but I really didn't quite get it. Some kind of, you know, God has a way of getting your attention, and he got my attention on that night. And when I heard the word, it was the gospel that really got my attention, even though I heard it as a child. But when I heard it as an adult, it affected me, and it just changed me from that day forward, and I just go and share it with everybody I can, and that's how I got involved in the prison ministry on that level.
Yeah, so you've been doing that now for 25 years?
25 years.
Okay, so for most people, Anthony, when they hear about the prison ministry, the fear goes up to a new level. They're like, "Oh, I don't know if I could go in there." How did you get comfortable doing jail and prison ministry?
Well, back in the 90s, early 90s, my brother-in-law was in prison, and so I went and visited him, and I wanted to know how could I get literature, and they said it can only come from a publishing company and the type of books. So that got me into writing, and so I would go back, and when I later, maybe about a couple of years later, I started doing local prison ministry, which was a jail, but the prison is an hour's drive away, so I got into both of those. And back in the 90s, 97, 96, 97. And it gets comfortable because they are ready to receive you. We have a captive audience, if you know, it's a figure of speech. And they are all ears to hear what you have to say. And it is just so liberating to, you know, it gets rid of the fear once you see that they receive you. The fear leaves. You know, we've had choirs to go with us to prison, and most were ladies, and they were afraid. But once we got into the singing and the worshiping and the preaching, the fear subsided.
Yeah, that's great. I remember when I was in college, we had a guy that had a prison ministry at our church, and he would go out on Sunday mm-hmm. afternoons, and he invited me to go with him one day. And man, I'm a sophomore in college, and I'm nervous as a cat. And so I said, okay, I'll go. And, you know, it's like, you preach at the jails. How do I do this? I've never preached before. And, you know, you feel the fear, and you do it anyway. And God uses you mm-hmm. when you step through that and just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And so that was a great experience for me back when I was a young believer in college. So, Anthony, are you in the ministry full-time, or is this something you do?
I'm an evangelist. You know, so I did travel to different churches, but I'd still be here, you know, not maybe twice a month. And I would go I'm still a part of the prison and the jail ministry. So it's a desire or a calling, I call it. I think it's God's calling, so I could never really give it up. Even with COVID, they shut it down for 2 years, but they finally opened it back up, and they, you know, the inmates, they just want it. And my thing is, the person, the preacher, the speaker, whoever he is, he has to have a desire, a burning desire, to want to speak in those types of places, male and female. That's what
right.
He, you know.
And it's a captive audience, but they don't make people go to chapel. If the prisoners don't want to hear it, they don't come. But those that do come want to hear.
They want to hear. 90% of them hear. Some they want to get out of the block, but 90% of them, they're there to hear, and they're so attentive. Some of them give their testimonies, how they could have died and crazy stuff like that. But they want what is being spoken. They want it. And I end up seeing people in there that I knew I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't know they were in prison, but, you know, you never know who you will meet or run into there in those types of places. But they want the word. They want someone to feed them spiritually.
Right. And you're having a lot of response. The note says you've seen over 3,000 people over the years pray to receive Christ.
Yes, over 3,000 people, you know. And this is just, I think it's about to get better. I don't know if I told Jay the last text message, email, that we even had a captain last month to want to be born again. He wanted salvation. He wanted more, even though he was a pastor, you know, before COVID, but he was still into the prison, you know, as a job. But he wanted more, and I baptized him in front of all the inmates.
Oh, wow.
And that was so exciting to see that. Just always call it the Acts 16 experience with the Philippian jailer.
Yeah.
It finally happened 25 years later.
That is cool. And how did the inmates respond to the captain?
Oh, my. It was a captive. They were all, their eyes were glued, like, I cannot believe this, you know. But it made them, the inmates, want to go ahead and do it. This must be real. If the captain got baptized, got saved, what about us? And it's just, we've been doing at least six a week now, you know, six or seven people giving their life to the Lord, you know, because of that experience of watching him do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it spreads.
Where are you going to a lot of different prisons, Anthony, or are you going to the same one?
Well, three, most of all. Another minister does another one about an hour away, and then the other prison is an hour away, and then the one in the actual city is a jail.
Right.
So it's pretty much three different facilities, correctional facilities.
Yeah. Well, in the prison, are those guys in there for a long period of time? So you're kind of talking to the same guys over and over, or is it a new group pretty often?
It's a new group. It's a new group. The jail, they turn over. Some have stayed in there in the jail for like 4 years. Some have been in there for 4 years. But the prison is more like a transition type prison where they come like an intake and then they go to their home prison.
Oh, okay.
So I see some of those same guys in the jail. They'll be in the prison.
Yeah.
Once they go to trial. So I see some of those guys more than one time.
Yeah. So how many go with you when you go into the prison to carry on a service and witness?
We've had up to at least three, because of different other ministers' churches come in, but three at a time, and sometimes two. And I've been by myself as well. Before.
Okay. Do you ever run into a difficulty, Anthony, where somebody's doesn't like what you're saying and they're gonna beat you up or something like that?
No, maybe once, and they would immediately take him out, you know, and put him back in his block. But no, not really. Maybe once, and they'll speak up out of turn and say, "I don't believe this," and that's rare. Maybe I would say twice out of 100 times that I've had that happen—a bad experience. Now, the old jail, you were locked up and no jailer was in there with you. And
right.
It was a little small 8x8 room, and that was, but no one ever attacked me in that little room where they had to lock us up. But no, it's maybe once or twice, maybe twice that I can remember, but not physical harm, just verbal.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a few weeks ago, I talked to Mike Barber. Mike Barber played professional football for the Houston Oilers and Los Angeles Rams, and he has a tremendous prison ministry in Texas. And Mike's a big, tough guy and playing tight end. And he said he had one guy challenge him one day and said, you know, you're a Christian, so if I punch you, you just have to turn the other cheek. And he got in Mike's face, and Mike just said to him, he said, well, you know, I haven't gotten that far in my Bible reading, so if you punch me, I'm coming after you.
I haven't experienced that yet. I haven't. I've seen fights break out, but not after me. Two inmates, I guess they were gangs, different gangs, and he walked in and jumped right on the guy. And they're handcuffed, so, you know, but not me. I have never had one inmate threatening, because I've been so comfortable and they know me that if one did jump me, try something, the rest of them would beat him down.
Right.
The one they know me. They wouldn't let him touch me. They would.
Well, you know, in the prison too, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, guys can get hardened, obviously, but then guys can also hit rock bottom, and then they're very open to hearing, is there hope for me? And, mm-hmm. you know, can God love me? I've committed these terrible sins. Is there any hope? And so I think that the prison ministry is, it's a field white to harvest if people will go in there and share. So has that been your experience?
Yes, it is. There are a lot of them, as a matter of fact, about 2 weeks ago, a young guy, he's 24 years old, and he came weeping and crying and wanting, you know, a change. So they're in the atmosphere. A lot of them are just young guys that got in bad company, and now they're in jail, you know, but they don't want to continue to live that way. And I actually happened to know this individual's mom, but I didn't know it was her son. You know, and he wanted to be saved. He wanted me to baptize him, and, you know, different things of that nature. So they're hungry and they're open to what you have in the prison. We have at least 100 of space for 100 inmates at a time in the prison. Mm-hmm. But the jail is a little smaller crowd. But yes, they are so receptive of whatever we offer them for the most part.
Amen. Well, that's a great opportunity for somebody that, you know, if you say, I struggle with witnessing, the prison ministry, and if you get to know the chaplain, the prison chaplain, he can let you in there and give you an opportunity to share the gospel, and you can learn how to talk one-on-one. You can learn how to preach to guys, and, you know, it doesn't have to be our sermon. It can be a 10-minute sermon, something that shares the gospel and shares what the Lord has done for you. And so, Anthony, thank you for coming on today, and thank you for sharing how the Lord is using you. And what parting word would you have for somebody that's out there and says, oh, I don't think I could ever do that. That would just take too much courage. How could you encourage them?
Go do it. The jail is one of the greatest ways to get rid of fear. It does. If you got have any type of fear, do prison ministry, do jail ministry. Because most of us struggle with just talking to people about the Lord, you know, anywhere, you know, because of fear of, you know, how I'm going to look and I don't know what to say. But just open your mouth and do it. Just do it. But prison is one way to really get rid of the fear.
Amen.
Prison ministry.
Amen. Well, Anthony, if somebody wanted to contact you and find out more, how would they do that?
They can email me at macmcky7@gmail.com.
Okay, say that again.
M as in Mac, A as in Anthony, C as in cat, M as in Mac, C as in cat, K as in kite, O as in opposite, Y as in yield, the number 7@gmail.com. And they can get up with me, and I can give them some advice and, you know, direct them in the right direction.
Amen. Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. God bless you, and God bless your ministry. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about the subject of witnessing, of being ambassadors for the Lord and being bold. And as we said in the top of the hour, to pray, God, give me an opportunity, and God, help me to know when that opportunity is there, because I want to tell somebody about you. And God, when the opportunity comes, help me to not chicken out. Give me boldness so that I can feel the fear and do it anyway, and I can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. I want to find out about your witnessing opportunities and how God is using you. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Hey, the Lord, He saved you to use you in this world to be a witness. There are people that God wants to reach through you if you will just stand up and deliver by the power of the Holy Spirit. God has a plan for you. You don't want to miss out on it. He wants to use your life to impact others. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Picture a stormy sea. The waves are rolling viciously and the sky is darker than night. The crack of thunder can be heard over the roaring wind. A tiny ship is thrown wildly up and down as it rides the waves. The crew is just about to lose hope when someone spots a sudden flash in the distance. A lighthouse.
Lighthouse for the Lost, an article by Parker May. To read this article, visit EngageMagazine.net.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah. I called and right away, Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
This is the sound of not just one, not just two, but three heartbeats. Heartbeats that were birthed through the ministry of preborn. The heartbeat of a preborn baby can be heard as early as 6 weeks on ultrasound. The sound of a heartbeat changes everything.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free heartbeats for moms in crisis in America and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time, and this time there were three. To find out more, go to preborn.com or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We're talking about the subject of witnessing, telling other people about Jesus, opening your mouth, being bold to share that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him, through a saving knowledge of Him, through repentance and faith. Witnessing is one of those things that many of us don't do very well because of fear, because of not knowing what to say, all sorts of different issues. But we want to encourage one another in this thing called witnessing because none of us do it perfectly, but we want to do it faithfully. So we're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear about your witnessing stories and how God has used you to be a witness. We have some people on the line, so let's go to Alan in North Carolina. Alan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. And yes. I came to the Lord late in life. I identify with Anthony McCoy earlier. And lived a rough life, had a near-death experience when I was 34, but when I was 39, had a life-changing experience. And for a while, I was part of a ministry called Set Free Prison Ministry. And one time, when I did come to the Lord, I just said, Lord, you know, if you could just let me bring one person to know Jesus Christ before I die, I'll be happy. But one night, whenever I was in a prison, and I was giving my testimony of how I came to the Lord, of my dark, holy experience. my experience in the Vietnam War and almost being killed in combat, and then that, and my older brother's involvement with drugs, then I could look out over the men, and I could tell that they were identifying with some of the things I was saying. And when I told about how I almost killed a guy in a fist fight, but that night, 37 guys accepted Jesus Christ as Savior.
Wow.
And I so much appreciate that. And then since then, I just look for innovative ways to witness. You know, personal witness is the best way, but I like to keep with me tracts that give mm-hmm. the testimony. You know, like one is "You're Special." And then any time that I can find an opportunity, like if I'm at a restaurant, I leave a tip, always, you know, above the minimum. And then I'll just stick it in a tract. And on my business card on the back, you know, I have the two diagnostic questions on one card. And another one is I have the questions and I have the scripture verses at the bottom of the card. And a lot of times when I'm on a plane and I'm traveling, striking up a conversation, I give them my card. I say, "I live in Fayetteville. If you ever stop in, then I'll treat you to lunch." Well, I've never had somebody take me up on it, but when you give somebody a card, invariably they'll turn around and they'll look at the back. By the time they read the back, the questions are there. So those seeds are planted.
Amen. That's a great way to do it, Alan. You know, we can be creative with that. One of the things that I do, and I learned this from one of our staff members, Ada Ferguson, who's in heaven now, and she said, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you can say, "Hey, we're going to pray before our meal. Is there anything that I can pray for you about?" That's very non-threatening. It's very open, and the person can say yes or they can say no. And that often leads to an opportunity to find out more about this person, what's going on in their life. I had a lady one time tell me, I asked her that simple little question, and she said, "You can pray for me. In the last 3 months, I've lost 2 children. And she lost one to drowning, a little child, and then lost a baby to SIDS. And I couldn't believe she was there, could even function. And we ended up praying for her there and bringing her to church. She came later and we led her to Christ and ministered to her. And you just never know how God is going to use something like that, some little thing, a business card with those two questions. Do you know for sure that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? And what would you say to God if he asked you the question, "Why should I let you into heaven?" Those two diagnostic questions can cause the gears to move and people to start to wonder, well, what would I say to God and what am I trusting in to get to heaven? So God bless you, Alan. Thank you for calling in and thank you for sharing that with us today. Well, we have Gary from Ohio on the line. Gary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm 900 months old. And I just wondered if it's in the Bible, do all things in moderation, because I became a believer and I'm a PK, and I do things in moderation. I feel I believe in the Bible, Christ died for me, but I drink a little beer and I smoke a little weed. And I don't do it, but I believe and I tell people about the Bible. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:28. You know, everything works together for good when God is involved. So I just want to know about, can I feel comfortable doing things in moderation, Jeff? Thank you so much.
Well, Gary, I appreciate that. I appreciate you listening to the program. Appreciate your question. Okay, so I think here's how I'd look at that. I ask myself the question, well, why am I doing this? You know, the wine, the alcohol, lots of people say, well, you know, I'm not getting drunk, so I'm, you know, I'm having a glass of wine with dinner or whatever. The marijuana, that's a little different, though, because most people do that because of the feeling associated with it. So I'd have to really wonder about that one. Here's my feeling on that, Gary. I don't see any upside in those kinds of substances. I see a huge downside. Just take alcohol, for instance. Wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler, the book of Proverbs says, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. One way you can make sure you never get intoxicated by wine or strong drink or alcohol is don't ever drink it. And I just see, I see those substances just destroying marriages and destroying families because, as the old proverb says, not a biblical proverb, but I think it's a Chinese proverb, first the man takes the drink, then the drink takes the drink, then the drink takes the man. That can easily happen with drugs and alcohol, and you can't control it, then it becomes, it starts to control you. I just think it's better to stay away from that stuff. I just think that the alcohol today is way different than the alcohol that they had in the first century, which was very watered down. They didn't have the kind of water supply that we have today, and so that was just a part of their regular beverage was a diluted down wine. And so it's different today, and I just think we're better off just saying no to that stuff. And I think that you can be a great witness for the Lord when you just say no. For me personally, because all my friends were, I had come out of drinking on the weekends and getting drunk, that was something that they looked at. And so if I said I was a Christian, they wanted to know, are you still drinking? Are you still partying? Because if you are, don't talk to me about Jesus because you're a hypocrite. Now, right or wrong, that was their view. And so I didn't want to do anything that was going to hamper my witness to those guys because I loved them and I wanted them to come to Christ as I had. So I just said, you know what? I'm just going to cut that out of my life. I'm not going to have any beer or anything like that because I want to be able to tell those guys, yeah, I don't do that anymore because Jesus has changed my life. But Gary, I appreciate you. I appreciate your listening to the program. Appreciate your honesty and your calling in today. God bless you, my brother. Thank you. Well, we have Alfonso from Texas on the line. Alfonso, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've been a street preacher for 33 years and been serving in the jail ministries also. Jesus said, you know, he didn't come for righteous, but for sinners to repent. And I think for us to be better witnesses would be better when we seek people that really need it. There's a lot of people that will reject you. You can tell the difference. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, you know, the Spirit blows wherever it wants. So I've been led by the Spirit to who I witness to. And there's and mostly the majority of the people that I witness is people that are in need, that are really like the leopard that with an open sore, that you can tell that they need Christ. And I've been very effective in my witnessing in the streets. I just being led by the Spirit. And there's a lot of people that just need to be preached at. The jail ministries are so good. 98% of them have met Jesus Christ in their lives. So I try to, in their lifetime, they've heard about Jesus. And that's where I start and start telling them, why did you love Jesus? What happened when you were a kid, when you accepted Jesus? What are you doing here today? There's a lot of ways to witness, and people just come to Christ. Every time I go to the jail ministry, everybody gives their lives to Jesus. Why? Because you got to focus in the need of who Jesus is and blame everything to Satan. Satan's the one that has caused their lives to be the way they are. And they want to know, most of the guys blame God as, why am I here, God? Why am I here? Mm. It's not that. It's the devil that got them there. The sin, you know, the sin that blinded them, the consequences. Right. Sin will always show you the pleasure, but it never shows you the consequences of it. And exactly the key thing is to expose them, to expose the enemy and exalt Christ, the light of the world. And that's where they get opened up and they hear the gospel. They believe that they've been deceived by the enemy. You know, and I enjoy it, brother. It's a great thing to preach. And I started, when I came to Christ, I didn't know nothing about Scripture, but I wanted people to know. The only verse I knew was, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." And I would go out in the streets and start yelling out, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." And people would come to Christ, man, and share my witness, my testimony, how God saved me from alcoholism and drugs. And people, man, would come to Jesus in the street. So, open, you know, sharing Christ is sharing what Christ has done for you to other people.
That's exactly right. Very good. Very good, Alfonso. God bless you, my brother. Thank you for your passion for the Lord and for your passion for the lost. And you're exactly right. Sharing Christ is just telling people, this is what the Lord did for me. This is what he can do for you. And I'm not special. I'm just a sinner who responded to the good news that Jesus Christ will save anybody who will, two things, repent and believe. So God bless you and God bless your ministry. Well, we just almost out of time, but Lynn from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. This is just a quick aside from the reason I called, but in reply to the guy who smokes pot. I grew up in the 60s, and there was a book called A Separate Reality. And really, it is a separate reality, but there's one reality. So when you smoke pot, you're in a separate reality, and that's not good. So anyway, right. But the reason I called was because in I just saw an article about pets in prison, and it's a real icebreaker. And, you know, like Ray Comfort, he has that dog who he walks around with.
Right,
dog
right.
Anyway, that's one thought about prison ministry that would help break the ice.
Yeah.
And, I have some items that I'm like a yard saler and a thrift shopper. And I have some visual items that I could kind of show people as I talk to them, and that's supposed to get more into people's minds when you have something visual and verbal. And like I had an old video case that says it is finished, and it shows Jesus in the cross. And then at another thrift store, there was this necklace, and it said, "To all who wear this necklace, you will be saved," or something like that. And I'm like, that is not going to save you.
No.
But, you know, you can show people something as you talk to them. And anyway, so that's just a
Amen.
Thought. And
Amen. Thank you, Lynn. I appreciate those ideas and the great stuff. Thank you for listening today. And we missed Carolyn from Ohio. Carolyn, I'm sorry that we weren't able to get you today, but thank you for calling in. Hopefully we'll get you next time. Well, tomorrow on the broadcast, you don't want to miss it. We have Johnny Erickson Tata, one of my heroes in the faith, and she's going to be talking about God's grace sufficient for her in her suffering. She's been in a wheelchair for 55 years. It's a message and a testimony filled with hope. So you don't want to miss tomorrow on Real Truth for Today. Well, I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It's a joy for me to be with you every morning. And hey, we've been talking about witnessing. So go out and do it. Open your mouth, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. And God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.